Hello, welcome to Tay to Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about Say Don't Go from 1989, Taylor's version, from The Vault.
Today we are discussing the song The One from Folklore. We are finally into our The songs.
Lots of
Thes. Lots of Thes.
So we've broken up by the last couple of Vault songs.
But then we got a lot of Thes. The One is the first track on Folklore.
Folklore was released on July 24th. 2020, and this song was co-written by our guy, Aaron Dessner.
Our guy.
The One peaked at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Yes! The One has been played live by Taylor 61 times, as well as the Long Pond Studio Session documentary on Disney+. She plays it now at the beginning of the Folklore section on the Eras Tour, after the first couple of concerts where she played Invisible String.
Yes, and it was slotted in kind of after the rumors and then the news of the breakup with Joe happened. Then The One slotted in.
But now we've got The One, and it was amazing.
Such a good live performance.
So good. Yeah. Oh my God. So good.
Yeah. So Devin, what do you think about The One?
This one's incredible. Just what an unbelievable start to the Folklore era. I totally remember us listening to this the first day.
Yeah.
And this came on and we were just like, no way.
Yeah.
What is this new Taylor? This is crazy. Like, she curses in the first line.
Yeah.
Like, we were like, what? This is Lover Taylor? Like, what? No, this is not Lover Taylor. This is up in quarantine Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, it's still crazy to me to think that we had zero idea that Folklore was
happening. Yeah, no idea.
No one knew. All of a sudden, she was just like, hey, I'm releasing this new album.
It was so exciting.
Like, what an unbelievable time.
And it was the day after your birthday.
It was the day after my birthday.
Such a gift.
What a gift. Like, it's just so cool. And ultimately was what drove us to do this podcast.
Yeah.
This song and this album. I mean, I will forever love this album for what it is and for what it did for us. Like,
yeah, it like saved us in a really rough time. Yeah. And then like a lot of people too, not just us.
Yeah, like everybody. And like, it's like she knew that she needed to give us this, you know? And like, I think that was really the start of like her slingshotting into beyond stardom, I think.
Yeah.
Like, because
icon status.
Yeah. Like what she cultivated during that time with her fans was beyond anything.
Well, and it was
transcended,
also,
you know,
her giving freely of her talent and not worrying about the normal constraints, just writing and putting stuff out, kind of doing
her thing.
Yeah. And like the freedom of that was huge.
Beautiful.
It's how she entered, I feel like, icon status. Also, just the switch up of genres that opened her up to whole different audiences.
Oh God, just what a time. It was a truly new experience with her. And like, again, this was when Devin wasn't fully a Swiftie yet. Like, I loved Lover, and I loved a lot of the songs on Lover, and that was our album and everything, but like, I wasn't where I am now, you know? Like, I'm not to think that before Folklore, like BF, before Folklore, there was this Devin that wasn't that much of a Swiftie. Like, I wasn't hardcore at all.
Yeah.
And this album, like, truly made me fall in love with her and with her music. And yeah, and brought us to this podcast, which is, I think, just so cool. And this song was one of the things that just, like, totally hooks you in immediately. That calming effect it has, the groove, the way that it just puts you into the Folklore era so quickly. I mean, those piano chords right at the beginning, and then you get the like that groove is just so good. It just sets up all of the motifs that you're going to hear throughout Folklore.
Yeah.
All these other songs that Aaron Dessner worked on with her, you hear these same guitar riffs and piano chords and these like high synths sprinkled out throughout, and like the same kind of groove. And for it to present this really cool new vocabulary was just like so fun to listen to. And then you get that first lyric, I'm doing good, I'm on some new shit. And it's just like, what? Like hearing that right out of the gate was just so wild. And I think both of us both were like, like we both kind of like,
yeah, like
oh
right God, away. What?
You yeah. know, her vocals here are just mm-hmm. phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think that Folklore era Taylor is still some of my favorite vocals.
Yeah.
I love listening to Folklore. It is like just the way she sounds. Like, I feel like it's probably because she recorded it on her iPhone and it's just got like this really like calming, so soothing, you know. It's yeah. like, it's like she was making it in, well, she was making it in her bedroom.
Yeah,
like we saw the pictures of her recording, like setting up the blankets and stuff.
Yeah,
and just like so good, the so
kitty,
real
kitty itty bitty kitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, so kitty good
studios. Yeah,
I love the lyric, if you never bleed you're never gonna grow, and we'll come back to that and relate. Just like so real. Mm-hmm. Like this chorus is so good too, the melody and the rhythm. Just the, oh, so good. And then the ooze during the interlude.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yes. Into the second verse. Just amazing. I know that you want to talk about this too, but yeah, in the live performance, yeah. we can both talk about it. In the live performance, what happened in the live performance with the change up of that line?
You sang it. I can't do it.
You meet some woman on the internet and take her home.
Oh my God. When yeah. Taylor did that, because we were trying not to watch videos uh-huh. before we saw the show live.
Yeah.
It was such a surprise. And it was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. it's so sexy.
And she's lying on the top of the cabin, and she's like, she's all the way back mm-hmm. lying down, and she's got and she shakes her head, take her home.
And it's like just, so unexpected. Oh, it's so good.
That whole number live is just so good.
Yeah.
I love the second time through when she sings, I guess you never know, never know. And it's just the piano under her. Mm-hmm. Like, such a sweet moment. Just, yeah. like, so raw and real. And she kind of, like, quiets down a little bit, too. Like, I guess you never know. You never know. Like, oh, yeah. so good. I just love the whole vibe of the song. I love how it just ends, kind of. And then just goes right into Cardigan. Mm-hmm. And it's so seamless.
That's a lot of this album. Really cool. Like, the songs flow into each other so well.
So good.
Because Aaron has all those sound mm-hmm. motifs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, fantastic opener to this era.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, when I think of the Folklore era, I think of The One. And then Cardigan.
Yeah, I think of, like, the Exile. Teenage Love Triangle.
And then Betty.
Yeah.
And then August. And then The Last Great American Dynasty.
Such an incredible
album. And then
album.
Mirror Ball.
This album is so good.
So good. It's so good. Gab, what do you think of The One?
I love this song. Mm. Folklore was just such a bomb mm. during such an insanely stressful time of COVID lockdown that hearing this song immediately calms me down mm-hmm. and makes me feel at peace. Like, immediately. I think it's, like, really amazing the effect this album has on me still. Mm-hmm. And it still does, because it was just so important when it came out. It was just such an insane time, mm-hmm. stressful, scary time. And this album really gave us something, like, kind of with, like, purpose to listen to do. Like, it just had such a different feel, and it just was also like almost as if like Taylor was giving us all a hug. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Absolutely.
And it still has that effect on me to this day because of how strong my reaction was to it when it came out. When albums first come out, I like love to listen to them in order for mm-hmm. a while until mm-hmm. I like really know the songs, because like that's how the artists like, you know, displayed the album, yada yada. And The One was obviously the first song I listened to when I would put the album on. So like this song specifically has that instant calm effect on me mm-hmm. from those first like opening notes of the do, like into mm-hmm. the steady beat that runs through the song. Like it's just instantly I feel like I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's so cool with a song.
Oh.
Evermore has that effect too, as it also came out during this time. So a lot of songs on Evermore as well. But yeah, so The One, I just remember like so many really stressful days, especially like going back to work during the pandemic too.
Mm.
I'd come home to shower and I'd immediately just put this album on to decompress and be okay.
Yeah.
And like it really has that effect. Ugh. It's so special. I love Taylor opening her first foray into, you know, like folk music. And I guess people call this album, you know, like alternative. Mm-hmm. Like that was the category it fit into. And like the fact that it was a surprise album with I'm doing good, I'm on some new shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like iconic. Yes, you are. This is some new shit, Taylor. Yeah. And it sounds amazing. Like truly just an iconic opening line to an album that's such a change.
Absolutely.
For her.
Yeah.
And like so not what she had been doing before. And also just her saying, I'm doing good. Like we're like, okay, she's okay, you know? And you, as you said, her voice just sounds so good on this song. It's so soothing throughout the song. There's this beautiful quality to her voice that's just extremely pleasing. It was such a different sound for all of us at this time. Like, it was totally new. Even her singing in this way was totally new. I love the tone of the song, that nostalgic looking back fondly vibe. And then there's that sultriness to Taylor's voice. And as we talked about, she really amped that up in the live version with the take her home. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's sexy. Yeah, like the first time that I heard that change, I feel like my eyebrows just shot up. I was like, oh my God. Like, with one note, you could change so much about a song. Amazing. Yeah, and then I just love also those oohs in the interlude and at the end, the harmonizing. So good. It's so soothing. The way the lyrics play in the melody, like, it just all really works. And then, like, the images, tossing pennies in the pool, rosé flowing with your chosen family. Like, it all just flows so beautifully.
Yeah.
So I'm just, like, such a fan of this song. I think it's an all-around good song. I think it's good for the soul. I think it's very listenable. Yeah. So, I'm a huge fan.
It's very poetic. There's the melodies and the lyrics, like, they're super flowy and poetic, you know? It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of this album.
Yeah, this album is just so, so good lyrically, so good with words. And I love Folklore so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Devin, do you relate to the one?
You know, I always go back to the line, if you never bleed, you're never going to grow. So real, like, just so real. And, you know, I'm a perfectionist, right? And I hate messing up.
Yeah.
And I hate when people think less of me because I did something bad or wrong, or I have to be told to do something twice, or I failed at something, or whatever. I never want someone to be disappointed in me.
Yeah.
And yet, the biggest growth happens when you mess up.
Yeah.
Or make a mistake. Totally. Or if there's a tragedy, or if, you know, you failed a test, or if you messed up at work and you did something bad and your employer has to, like, reprimand you for doing it, or, you know, bigger things or smaller things, or messing up teaches you how to fix it.
Yeah.
And then you mess up and hopefully you learn from it. And that is actually the more important part is, yeah, you mess up, but then you have to then either change to figure out how to do it differently or not and keep having that same thing happen and mess up again, or which then isn't great, you know, but real growth can happen when you mess up.
Yeah.
And I feel like we live in an age right now where, like, perfection is, like, so, like, the thing that everyone shoots for. Getting
things right all the time.
Or even perceived perfection. Because when we post things on social media and stuff, like, that is the perfected version of whatever it is we're doing, right? It's the picture that we cropped to make look great, or that we put a filter on. Or when we make this podcast, I cut out all the ums and the uhs and filter it, you know, to make it sound better, right? It's a perfected, we want, like, as a product, right? But social media, like, that then we see perfection every day.
Yeah.
And that isn't real life, right?
Like, I think that's on the way out, too. Like, that trend is more millennials. I feel like Gen Z isn't like that.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's important to mess up. Like, that line is, like, the realest line ever.
Yeah, I love that.
But,
and you got to go through some,
you do.
Some ish to grow.
Yeah, because if you're perfect all the time, how are you going to grow?
Yeah.
You know? Then you just stay where you are, and that's no fun. Taylor, always giving us those little gems of lyrics.
Completely.
And she has bled a lot in her journey
as
a singer-songwriter. Like,
a lot publicly, and I'm sure there's a lot we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super, super relatable song. Gab, what about you?
I totally relate. I really relate to the lyric, "Persist and resist the temptation to ask you, if one thing had been different, would everything be different today?" I always think about fate, and if things had been different, would the outcome still be the same, and would I still be in the same place in life? I think about that idea a lot. I don't really live my life with regrets, but, like, fate and the past, and if things had been different, would something be altered? Like, it's just an idea I, like, I'm always, like, thinking about in my head or perusing. I think it's because I watched the movie, and I may have even talked about this on the podcast before. Devin knows this. He knows it before I'm even going to say it. As a very young, impressionable child, right, this movie came out in 1998. I watched the movie Sliding Doors, starring Gwyneth Paltrow. It's a very 90s movie. And it deals with this exact topic. And I used to watch it a lot. And so I think it just was very ingrained in me and like the way I think and the way I think about like fate in the world. But what happens in the movie, and this isn't a spoiler because it's like right in the beginning, is like Gwyneth Paltrow's character, it misses a subway and it's in London. So it's the tube. Is that what they call it in London?
I think so, yeah.
Misses her subway in one version of her life and makes the train in the other. And it's these two completely diverging lives that happen based on that one difference, right? So you can imagine 7-year-old Gab watching this. Like, that's been kind of ingrained in my memory for a long time. It's a great movie. I don't know if it holds up. Have not watched it recently.
Yeah, check it out.
Did I ever make you watch it? Or
no,
it
not
skipped
yet.
The time we tried to watch it.
Yeah.
It
was we a tried
DVD.
To.
And yes. It skipped. It really was a DVD, guys.
It was
guys.
An actual DVD.
I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but I do have it on
might
DVD.
Have to rent it.
Yeah, you have to see it. It's so formative to the way I think. But so I think watching that as a young kid made me think so much. And so I just love that lyric and that idea. Like, would everything be different? Mm-hmm. You know, could this person in her life have still been in her life? Who knows, right? So it's like, I would never want my life to be in a different place. But I always think like, is there another timeline where something different happened? Mm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really believe in that stuff, but I really find it fascinating and interesting to like think over. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now we get to the segment of Gossip.
In an interview with Vulture, Aaron Dessner said, "The One and Hoax, the first and last song, were the last songs we did. The album was sort of finished before that. We thought it was complete, but Taylor then went back to the folder of ideas that I had shared. I think in a way, she didn't realize she was writing for this album or for a future something.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote The One, and then she wrote Hoax a couple of hours later and sent them to me in the middle of the night. When I woke up in the morning, I wrote her before she woke up in LA and said, these have to be on the record. She woke up and said, I agree. These are the bookends, you know?
Hmm.
So I thought that was really interesting.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And that they're, like, pretty different songs, you know? But they
very different.
Yeah. They totally work as bookends, as, like, an opener and a closer. Like, I think they really work. The One is a nostalgic song where Taylor looks back at a past romance. She addresses the ex in a conversational tone as she contemplates what her life would have been like if they had stayed together.
Mm.
There are a couple of theories about who The One is about. Hmm. So here are some of them. First, we have to acknowledge that Taylor herself has said much of Folklore is fictional characters and imagined stories that popped into her head during the COVID lockdown. She said, I found myself not only writing my own stories, but also writing about or from the perspective of people I've never met, people I've known, or those I wish I hadn't. So there's a chance that this song could be fictional, imagining, but I don't really believe it is, personally.
Okay.
As told to Vulture, Aaron Dessner thinks, this is a quote, it's clear that The One is not written from her perspective. It's written from another friend's perspective. There's an emotional wryness and rawness, while also to this kind of wink in her eyes. There's a little bit of her sense of humor in there, in addition to this kind of sadness that exists both underneath and on the surface. I enjoy that about her writing.
Hmm.
I'm like, oh, these two are so matched, like, artistically, you know? Just the way he talks about her work, right? Because Aaron said it's written from another friend's perspective, which is very interesting, some believe this song to be about Jack Antonoff and Lena Dunham's past relationship, which lasted for about 5 years, and which Taylor had previously discussed writing about on 1989's You Are in Love.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, had broken up at that point. Both Dunham and Jack are now married, with Taylor attending and being part of both weddings as a bridesmaid at Lena's and giving a speech at Jack's.
Yeah.
So she's still friends with both of them. So that's kind of an interesting idea.
Hmm.
And then a lot of people on the internet also thought maybe she wrote it from, because he said the friend's perspective thing, from Selena's perspective.
Hmm.
But there's not like a lot that really kind of follows or goes along or backs that up. But just him talking about from a friend's perspective made people think that as well. One popular theory stems from the title of the song, The One, and the fact that it's the number one and not the word one spelled out, which is a very specific choice, right? And
course,
not something that Taylor often does in her songs.
Uh-huh.
When they were friends, Taylor and Carly Kloss had a well-documented road trip down California's 101 highway for Vogue in 2015.
Oh.
Those who subscribe to the Kaler theory, which Google it if you've never heard of it, it's a lot to go into in one podcast, but they tend to believe this theory that this song is about Carly.
Mm-hmm.
However, my experience with Californians, the highway is usually referred to as the 101 or 101, not the one. And then California Highway 1, which is kind of like the similar route or like overlaps a little bit-ish, like parallel kind of. It's usually called the Pacific Coast Highway, not necessarily the one. But it still could be a subtle reference of that road trip, as well as like the fun that came with that time in Taylor's life when she was like friends with Carly and like the whole squad and everything.
Yeah.
And the lyric, "We were something, don't you think so? Roaring 20s, tossing pennies in the pool," always makes me think of Taylor's big 4th of July parties that she threw at her house in Watch Hill.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's very reminiscent, that lyric to me, of "This is why we can't have nice things."
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me think of her, like, it was so nice throwing big parties, like all of that. So that kind of era of her life and that part of the song definitely does make me think of that.
Hmm.
So that's a pretty pervasive theory. Interestingly enough, when I first heard The One, I thought it was about Taylor's relationship with Harry Styles.
Oh.
Because I always viewed Harry as her fun relationship. He's her fun ex.
100%.
Yeah. And then the lyric, "We were something, don't you think so?" always made me think of what a power couple they were together and would be if they were still together, right? And then the lyric, "And if you wanted me, you really should have showed," always made me think of their on and off relationship and the ambiguity of being together and then like pulled apart, and that like maybe they wanted to be together, but both their celebrities couldn't keep them together,
right?
And that there were other people wanting at them, and they kind of maybe also were seen with other people when they were not so sure if they were together. And some of the new 1989 Vault songs like also make me think of that too. Like, "If you wanted me, you really should have showed," like, "You should have made it known like that you had feelings for me, that you wanted to be with me." It feels like they both maybe like didn't say what they wanted to say in that relationship when it fell apart. Also, "He was her only ex that I could picture meeting a woman on the internet and taking her home." Right? Like, I feel like Harry would do that still.
For real.
You know, there was a lot of stuff when he was, like, younger and in One Direction of stuff of, like, you know, fans going back to, like, hotel rooms and things like that. So I just felt like that was very Harry-esque thing to do. What's so interesting is I've thought this for so long, like, since the song came out, but it's really not a popular theory.
Huh.
Like, there's not a lot of people on the internet that necessarily agree with me on that. I guess, like, I just assumed that if I was Taylor, I would think of how fun it would be if Harry Styles was the one.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fair.
It would have been fun if you would have been the one.
Seriously.
You know, like, Harry.
He seems like a lot of fun.
And also, though, that their relationship, like, these two powerhouse, huge, huge, huge pop stars in a relationship together. Like, yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
Right? The only time that this theory kind of popped up again was when they were seen talking to each other at the Grammys that year.
Right.
Yeah. So that's like was how I listened to it specifically. Yeah.
Okay.
A fun theory that I had never heard before doing this research was that The One is actually about the song Me, the first single from Lover, and how it was received by fans and critics.
Oh, no.
And the lyric... So the lyric, "In my defense, I have none for never leaving well enough alone." Echoes the lyric in Me, "I know that I went psycho on the phone. I never leave well enough alone." Okay, so she never leaves well enough alone. And she, you know, she couldn't leave her feelings about this song and how people reacted alone, maybe. And then later she sings the lyric, "And it would have been sweet if it could have been me." I think it's possibly a bit of a stretch, but it also oddly works as a double meaning.
I think that's pretty goofy.
Which I wouldn't put it past Taylor, though, a double meaning. It's a little goofy, but it's like, it kind of works.
That's funny.
And it's interesting, that idea of well enough alone, that that's something she's like used two albums in a row, that exact lyric.
Huh.
I don't know. This theory is kind of sitting in my head, and it's very interesting. Like, The One, it was the first single, number one. And then the lyric, "I thought I saw you at the bus stop, I didn't, though," could, like, of course, refer to any bus stop and the common occurrence of thinking that, like, you see your ex wherever you go after a breakup. But a lot of people, when they heard this, were like, "She's never been to a bus stop. Taylor doesn't ride the bus," right? So actually, a lot of people think this refers to the Bus Stop Cafe in New York City, which was a short walk from Taylor's apartment on Cornelia Street, which would, like, line up with the timing of, you know, before this album. And I think that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
Cool.
And the Bus Stop Cafe is, like, on a lot of different, like, Taylor New York City walking tour kind of things. So
funny.
It's kind of funny. In the Folklore, the Long Pond studio sessions of this song, Taylor said, "I think it has a double meaning. Opening the album with those words, it applies to the situation that the song is written about, where you're updating a former lover on what your life is like now and trying to be positive about it. but it was also where I am creatively, and where it's like, I'm just saying yes. I'm just putting an album out in the worst time you could have put one out. I'm just making stuff with someone who I always wanted to make stuff with. As long as I've been a fan of The National, I'm just going to say yes to stuff, and it worked out.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of cool, too. So, like, I think it's kind of like a blend of, like, fictional and mm-hmm. then also just, like,
yeah,
life. Yeah.
Love it.
But, yeah.
Those are all very interesting. I don't know. I think I agree with the Harry Styles thing.
Just because you think like me.
Yeah. Well,
but wouldn't
a little
he
bit.
Be her fun ex? Don't you think that?
Totally.
Like, I feel like a lot of people have like that fun ex that you're like, it would never have been practical to mm-hmm. be with that person.
It would have been
but
fun.
It would have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so that's kind of the vibe of this song.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like, she's looking back fondly on this fun, wild time and like just kind of reminiscing in like a casual way, but not really in like a pining way.
Yeah.
Right? It's just kind of like casual conversational, like,
Yeah, because I'm doing good and I'm some new shit.
Yeah, it's like mature looking back.
Yeah.
So that's really what it makes me think of.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I like it.
Fun theories, right?
Very.
Devin?
Yeah.
What's your favorite line in The One?
I love rosé flowing with your chosen family. Mm-hmm. I love the way that the line goes, the rhythm of it and the melody of it, and how the rhyming of it happens too. Rosé flowing with your chosen family. It's just it's that internal kind of rhyme situation going on, but like it's just great. And honestly, like I love rosé, so
it's so good.
And usually when I'm with friends, my chosen family, it's either a rosé or a nice dry wine. A white wine,
so, yeah,
or cider, but like rosé is great. And
yeah, it's that idea.
I totally am of the camp that you can drink it year round. It's not just a summer drink.
No, it's not
at all.
Yeah, and this goes along with my theory when they bring up rosé again in Maroon, which I think is about Harry.
Mm. Gab, what's your favorite line?
My favorite line is the one you discussed before, and if you never bleed, you're never going to grow.
Yeah.
I really love that line. I think that Taylor has some of these lines that like can also be really inspirational and like kind of hit your heart in a certain way that you can really like hold on to, and this is one of those.
Yeah.
And we have this beautiful artwork from Flickering Storm on Instagram. Mm. I think they're two sisters who run the account. And it's like the, if you never bleed, you're never going to grow. And it's artistically drawn. And it's this woman with like flowers growing out of her head. And
mm-hmm.
it's really beautiful. It's one of my favorite pieces of artwork that we've bought from Instagram. And yeah, so this lyric that just like really sits with me. I really like it. I think about that a lot.
It's so good.
Yeah. Okay, Devin.
Uh-huh.
From 1 to 10 pennies that you toss in the pool, what do you give The One?
I think I'm going to give The One 9 pennies you toss in the pool.
Nice.
Just like, it's so, so good. So soothing. Like you said, it just immediately transports you into this like calm mindset. It's just so soothing and comforting to listen to this song. And then like pretty much this whole album is just like comfort.
Yeah.
To us.
And yeah.
Honestly, can't thank Taylor enough for this album.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about you? From 1 to 10 pennies in the pool, what do you give this song?
I am giving The One 10 pennies that you toss in the pool. A full dime.
There it is.
What it is. I do. I love this song. I think it's in like, it's in my top, 30, 35? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's in my top 25, but like, I really love this song. Like, I love Invisible String as well, but I think I was one of like the few people. I mean, obviously, like the breakup stuff was upsetting with her changing the song from Invisible String to The One, but I was actually so excited that we were going to get to see The One live. Mm-hmm. Like that was like extremely exciting for me.
Yeah.
So I don't think I even knew how much I loved this song until I heard of that change. And I was like, wait, I think I'd rather see The One. I was like, I want her to play Invisible String more because I don't want her to have broken up with Joe, but I want to see The One. But now I'm like, okay, good for you, girl. You do your thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Do your thing.
I love this song. So 10 pennies.
All right.
Listen along with us. You can check us out on Instagram at Taysy Podcast and give us all your thoughts. Do you remember hearing The One for the first time? Does it have that same effect over you or not really? Mm. Like very, very curious, especially if maybe you started listening to Taylor later and you didn't hear the album in the midst of lockdown. Totally want to hear all your thoughts. And remember, you can find exclusive bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/TaysyPodcast.
Yes, and thank you as always to our patrons. You guys rock. Thank you. Thank you. The absolute best. Well, next episode, we're going to be going back to 1989 and covering Slut! ! from 1989, Taylor's version from the vault.
With the holidays coming up, with I think the next two Mondays are Christmas and New Year's Eve. Shev and I are celebrating and working New Year's Eve fully. We will be taking a little hiatus until the new year. So we will see you all in 2024. But, you know, come hang with us then.
Woohoo! I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been T to Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.